This is Brian Ahern speaking, and this is your Spotlight story, transcribed from Hollywood. We're going to turn our story spotlight up towards a house on the edge of Kellam Pond in a valley of the Adirondacks. It had been deserted for many years, deserted, that is, except by a ghost. The average run-of-the-spook ghost story takes place way back in the distant past, in these jet-propelled, stereophonic, vaccine-inoculated days, and much too, for that matter, a poor old specter hasn't got a chance. That's why the story I'd like to tell you now is a bit unusual. I think it's about a ghost who did make an appearance in the present day. Matter of fact, he made this appearance up in the Adirondack Mountains of New York State just after the beginning of this very month. And there were three human beings involved in the story of this particular ghost. Three rather young human beings. One was Heather Gilchrist, age 12, or, as she preferred to think of herself, going on 13. And the second was Heather's brother, Paul, not in the least ashamed of admitting to 11. And the third was a very young friend of the Gilchrists with the imposing name of Christopher Lee Connery. Christopher Lee Connery was, and is, the ripe old age of 3. The Gilchrists lived during the winter months in the little community of Warrensburg, New York, in the heart of the resort area up near Lake George. During this summer, they took a few days' holiday from the family motor court on Warrensburg's Main Street and went to visit friends in a little cottage on nearby Kellam Pond. They spent their days swimming, fishing, mountain climbing, and playing with the 3-year-old son of their host and hostess. And just incidentally, they unearthed a ghost. Well, actually, they didn't discover the ghost himself right at the beginning. Their initial discovery was limited to his house, as likely a residence for a ghost as ever echoed to the wail of a banshee. It was a battered cabin in the woods on the far side of Kellam Pond. On a night in the second week of August, the young Gilchrists, out for a sunset session with their fishing poles, heard the sound of footsteps echoing from within the cabin on the edge of the water. And without question, they accepted the fact that these footsteps were those of a ghost. There were several reasons why the 20th century Gilchrist youngsters came to the immediate conclusion that the eerie footfalls from within the cabin signified the presence of a being from another world. For one, they, like everyone else in the neighborhood, had often heard the story of the cabin. A man had been murdered there, it was said. A man had been murdered there, and the murderer had never been caught. The murdered man's body had been taken away from the cabin, but the rumors around Warrensburg were that his spirit hadn't been quite so quick to depart. It was the spirit of this same man who restlessly paced the battered floorboards of the house on August nights, the anniversary of the night of the murder. There was one reason that Heather and Paul Gilchrist were convinced of the presence of the ghost. The second reason was that there seemed to be no other explanation for the sounds. Every alternative idea suggested by the more skeptical grown-ups in the vacation party was quickly discarded. Oh, no, it hadn't been an echo from one of the occupied cabins along the water. No, it hadn't been the wind pushing a tree branch up against the house. No, it hadn't been any of the other lake youngsters playing a practical joke. Heather and Paul had investigated all of these possibilities carefully, very carefully. A third reason for their easy acceptance of the existence of the ghost was that Heather and Paul were very imaginative youngsters, and, as I said before, they were just 11 and 12 years old. Called by the disbelief of the adult members of their group, they decided to prove that their theory of the anniversary ghost was correct. How? By taking a picture of it with Paul's flash camera. There was only one hitch to the plan. They'd been left with the assignment of babysitting with 3-year-old Christopher Connery. They'd have to undertake their later ghost expedition with the rather underage assistance of a boy whose only qualifications for adventuring were his enthusiasm for the musical exploits of Davy Crockett. As it turned out, however, 3-year-old Christopher Connery emerged as the hero of the whole expedition. It was about 9 in the evening when Heather and Paul Gilchrist and young Christopher Connery bounced into the rowboat tied at the end of the pier and set forth towards the deserted house on the far side of Kellam Pond. The boatload of young spook-seekers crept closer and closer toward the deserted cabin. And just as soundlessly as they'd made their crossing over the surface of the pond, Heather and Paul Gilchrist managed to beach their boat. With barely a crunch, they pulled it far up on the sand and climbed out. They whispered secret instructions to Christopher. He was not to budge from his seat in the boat until they returned. And then Paul, carrying the camera, the intrepid brother and sister made their way up the bramble-ridden pathway toward the house. Well, at first they heard nothing. The windows of the deserted cabin were just as black as the night, and they heard not a sound from within the house, not even the swish of a night-flying bat. They stationed themselves at the edge of a clearing about 15 yards from the front of the cabin and prepared to wait. 5 minutes passed. 10 minutes. And then, in the middle of the blackness, they heard it. From the far side of the porch, they heard the sound of stealthy footsteps plodding slowly along the floorboards. Now, Paul's camera had been set to shoot long before he'd started on the boat ride across the pond. So all he had to do was to raise it to eye level, point it in the direction of the footfalls, and press the shutter. But before he had a chance to perform even that simple gesture, he and Heather heard another sound, right behind them. There was a thrashing in the bushes, and then, suddenly, in a cheerful soprano voice, they heard three-year-old Christopher Connery singing out the chorus of Davy, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. Well, at that, everything happened at once. Heather screamed, Paul's nervous finger clicked against the camera shutter, and a blinding flash of light struck into the night. The steady footfalls on the porch turned to a frantic, thunderous scuffling. And through it all came Christopher's merry voice singing, Davy, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. And that was that. The ghost expedition was at an end. No more film, no more footfalls. The Gilchrists, Christopher in tow, sullenly rode back home. Now there was no hope of ever taking a picture of the ghost who haunted Kellam Pond. Well, several days passed before Heather and Paul made the discovery that their nighttime vigil had not gone unrewarded. They made this discovery when Paul picked up the prints from his roll of developed film. The first 7 pictures were just as expected. One of Mother and Dad Gilchrist proudly smiling in front of the no-vacancy sign of Gilchrist Manor back in Warrensburg. One of Christopher's mother napping in the porch swing. One of Christopher's father holding up a fish. 4 of Christopher himself in various poses with a sandcastle. And then came number 8. On the last picture on the roll, flashed by accident because a little boy had scared the photographer with a chorus of Davy Crockett, they had a picture of the ghost of Kellam Pond. It was a surprisingly clear likeness of a very startled, very frightened young fawn. Well, that's the story of the laying of the ghost of Kellam Pond. Actually, there's a sequel to it, too. A rather nice sequel. Turned out that particular fawn was an orphan, abandoned by his mother and much in need of food. Flanked next time by grown-ups, the Gilchrists made another visit to the deserted cabin on a subsequent night and managed to make friends with the animal. They've been feeding it regularly for the past 3 weeks. Now, we are happy to report, both fawn and ghost hunters are doing well, and Christopher Connery still does a fine job on the chorus of Davy Crockett. Well, this is Brian Ahern saying that's the story for now.
The preceding program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.